This week on the Glass Cannon Podcast, the heroes push further into Ghostlight Marsh.
Have I made it clear that, like, no one goes into Ghostlight Marsh? No one.
Yeah. Yes, you have.
Okay.
Ray, what about?
Nope, not even them.
And uncover Troy's secret weapon.
My neon green die that only rolls 20s.
Your way to die.
It's way to die. What a way to die.
Baron attempts a daring plan.
I really don't understand what Grant is doing here.
But when an ill-advised taunt hits home.
But as long as you keep putting in front of us, you know, embarrassingly easy hydras, we should be fine.
Troy strikes back.
You ready for the damage? I actually need a calculator.
The adventure continues now.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to another episode of the Glass Cannon Podcast. This is Grant Berger, a.k.a. Baron Redheart, and I want to go ahead and take things back to basics and talk a little bit about Baron. Now, Baron is from the Five Kings Mountains, probably the most important remaining bastion of dwarven culture in Galarian. Within its subterranean caverns and tunnels lived the single largest nation of dwarves remaining in Galarian. The mountains are also the site of one of the few remaining sky citadels built during the dwarves' arrival upon the surface of Galarian at the conclusion of their quest for sky. Now, what's interesting is that most of the other citadels were raised by orcs, the mightiest of which, Koldakar, is today known as Urgir, the seat of the orcs' leadership in the Hold of Belxen. Now, Urgir is also where Rag Bloodtusk once fought as a gladiator in his youthful days. But back to Baron. Baron is from Kovlar, a small city within the Five Kings Mountains, run largely by its merchant guilds. The most powerful of these guilds is the Anvilers Guild. Now, prior to the Glass Cannon adventure we are undertaking today, Baron and his family were members of the Anvilers Guild, and they had unlocked the vicious and dangerous secrets of firearms. These designs and schematics should have been a monumental discovery for all dwarven kind, but that dream was shattered by a raiding party of orcs who took the lives of Baron's parents. Cut to current day, and we're getting pretty close to the Mindspin Mountains. What I'd like to do is read you a little excerpt from Dwarves of Galarian by Paizo, and excellent little book if you want to learn more about dwarves. The Mindspin Mountains are renowned for their concentrations of dwarf settlements. Primary among these is Yanderhof, one of the few remaining sky citadels still in use by dwarves, and a major hub of commerce between the dwarves and other races. Indeed, Yanderhof is the Mindspin Mountains' real claim to fame, an iron fortress built atop a mountain riddled with ancient tunnels and mines. I don't know about you, but Yanderhof and Urgir sound like awesome places to visit. It'd be super awesome if we go there. And so what I'm saying is that if Troy doesn't take us there during this adventure, I will personally murder him. Anyway, guys, thanks for listening. Without further ado, here's episode 46, Marsh Madness.
You know, if I ever kill one of your characters, I'm not going to say, fuck you, Joe. But yet every time you kill one of mine, that's what you say to me.
Are you as deeply attached to all your NPCs as we are to our characters?
Your unnamed five-headed snake monster.
What was the name of the Hydra?
Steve.
Troy. Okay. All right. Fair enough.
He was an unnamed Hydra.
They had one.
Where did he grow up?
One name for five heads?
He grew up in the marshes.
That's creative.
That's where he learned to pounce.
On the old mean marshes.
The mean marshes of Ghostlight. Have I made it clear that, like, no one goes into Ghostlight Marsh? Like, no one.
Yeah. Yes, you have.
Okay.
Ray, what about?
No. Nope, not even them. Okay, so you guys just jump right in here. Anything we need to discuss? Good.
So the Circle of Thorns is reached by heading north from that marker, right? That's all we know?
Right. Silvermane is like, once you see that marker, head north. And, you know, you've got to find a husk of a will-o-wisp, obviously. But to find the Circle of Standing Stones that marks the entrance
to the Vault of Thorns. Just head north and try to stay alive.
Okay. So, but wait, there was something about the lantern that was that once the husk is in it, which is going to be impossible and kill all of us. But once it's in it, it said it points the direction. Now I know it said if you wash it over this one stone, right, it'll reveal the. But did it also say it points the direction of the stones?
Yes.
So if we get a husk in, we could use it to lead us to the stones.
You hope that that's how it's going to work. Okay. Right.
Yeah. That's my understanding. At death bog.
Right. Take a ride at the dead hydra. yeah. So that's what you hope.
Quick dumb question too. Is it a waste of a channel if we all took damage, or should we wait a while?
I was thinking about doing one. I think I'm a channel.
I'm a channel.
I'm gonna let you channel, but okay.
I'm a channel.
My gold plated.
Are you two dice still?
Yeah, still. Oh, 8.
Fantastic.
That was the best I've rolled for channel.
Awesome. So you guys keep moving forward. Matthew, did you want to search the Hydra for gold?
Naturally.
No gold.
Damn it.
And no plus one falchions, Joe. I'm sorry.
God damn, every week. Every week, there's no plus one falchions.
All right, so you guys continue slogging north through Ghostlight Marsh. And after a couple more hours, the waterways are giving way to more land. Do you know what I mean? So instead of having these tiny little... for lack of a better term, islands amongst the thick stream, it starts to become...
As we get further from the river.
Further from the river. It's still swampy and gross, but it's more land masses with just rivulets and streams running through it. Now, obviously, they carry the same
boggy
restrictions as a deep bog. You'll see that there are pathways that you can follow, man-made or otherwise made, and sometimes there are bridges... like lackluster bridges going over streams that are just like planks of wood or like felled tree logs making a bridge over. So you guys eventually see paths you can follow.
Is there any point to doing a survival check?
You can absolutely see
if there's been movement over these things recently or any footprints or anything. 25.
Ooh.
25. You don't see much movement on the pathways themselves. You see animal prints on the ground.
Anything of note
on the
of
pathway?
Concerns?
It seems like no one has walked on this pathway in a long time.
Anything of note with the animals? Like, is there any particular animals? I'm like, oh, there's a bear or something dangerous.
There's some that you recognize, like wolf animal, like small animals or larger animals. But there's other things you've seen. I've never seen a paw that looks like that.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a path you can follow. Now, I should say, outside of the path and the open in land areas, the vegetation is so thick that to go into it, you would probably get lost after about 5 minutes. So you can pretty much stay on the path, or you can continue moving through the sort of unexplored areas. Or you can do a combination of both.
I favor sticking to the path.
I think it's safer tactically for us.
I also don't, given the danger of the marsh, I don't think it's going to be a secret. It's not going to be a bogged down secret area where we need to go. Would be my.
So these whispers we hear, do they just appear to be coming from everywhere, or can I do a perception check to kind of hone in on where they're coming from?
They're coming from everywhere.
Okay.
It's constant.
It's the lost whisper.
It's like
you
the
just
others.
Hear it from time to time. It's the others.
Yeah,
the smoke monster. Yeah, you kind of hear it all around you. It's not constant, but you just, from time to time, in the stillness, you hear what sounds like whispers.
And there's no light source or anything that we see in the distance or anything like that?
No, I mean, similar to when you were on the boat, from time to time, you'll see little dancing lights here and there, but they extinguish as quickly as
like June bugs or something?
Yeah. As far as you know, it's nothing you could be like, oh, like run up to it and try and catch it. It's gone, and you think it could even be a trick of your mind. But after a couple hours of travel and the Hydra fight, you'll need to. You've come across nothing. You have not been attacked at all, and you feel that it is now pitch dark out. You would probably want to rest, but that's up to you. Unless you want to keep going through the night.
Yeah, I'd love to rest.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
Okay,
set up watches.
Yeah, we got to set up a watch.
Yep.
Before we rest, I have a third level scroll of tongues that I would like to try to learn.
Okay.
To teach Howie, or feed it to him, really.
Right, so now...
Where did we get a scroll of tongues? You don't remember?
I don't remember. I wrote it down.
You bought it.
I trust myself.
Bought it at the scroll store on the banks of the River Esk.
If I was lying, don't you think I would have picked a cooler spell?
Don't you remember? We stopped at scrolls.
Scrolls are us.
Scroll mania.
So this would take 3 hours for me because it's a third level spell.
Oh, and you burn it and feed Howie the ashes.
Yes, and then I roll the spellcraft.
Okay. So you want to do that as you guys are camping. So
yeah.
While Lork's setting up the fire, you're feeding your scorpion ashes.
Might I have a bit of luck?
Yes, I provide Gormley with a bit of luck to aid her.
Gently caresses Gormley.
So over the course of the 3 hours, the scroll gets burned, and I make a little paste, and then I turn to Howie, who skitters out from under my robes, and I say, Howie, I got something for you here. Just a little old scroll of tongues.
All right, dude. feed me the ashes, bro.
Do you want a little?
That's what Howie sounds like.
Only Gormley hears that. Yeah.
Do you want a little salt on it or something? How do these even taste?
Nah, bro. I gotta be careful. I have a heart attack if I have too much salt.
Got a family history of high cholesterol?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's roll for this, shall we?
All right.
I got it, 23.
Hey, dude, you know tongues. Tell your buddies you know tongues now.
I gotta say, Howie, I haven't really had the chance to converse with you. I feel we have much to learn from each other.
Nah.
Go Sox.
Go Sox.
Oh God.
Did you learn it?
Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
Nicely done.
Baron uses
with a bit of luck.
Baron uses this time to craft himself some more cartridges.
Oh, okay. All right. And Lork, this is, you want to start teaching Ben Vereen a new trick?
Yeah, I am going to work on teaching him Sikh. Yeah, which allows him
the
to...
The religion?
It's a little turban.
Seems like a strange choice, but all right.
To each his own animal companion. No, it will allow him, if he learns this at the end of a week, it'll allow him to move into an area and... look around for anything that is obviously alive or animate. And he's got a very high stealth score. So he could like stealth ahead and like see if there's anything alive in a place where we might not think something's alive.
All right.
Good idea.
Interesting. Interesting choice for Ben Vereen. But you're just full of interesting choices.
Well, with making him a little bit more survivable, I'm a little bit more... I'm into the idea of like letting him go ahead because he could survive one hit or something, you know what I mean? And then come back because I can tell him come. He knows that trick. So I want to utilize him as like a scout as well as because we don't have a rogue.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say by making more survivable, you were making Lork more sympathetic as a character. He actually cares about something.
Okay.
So I'll start working on that, training him on that.
Very good. What does the training entail?
Oh, don't do this to me.
Hide a berry in the bush and say, go find it, Ben. Go find the berry.
And instead, he's just like continually mauling the body of the Hydra. Like, Ben, calm down.
It's got one of its heads in its mouth. Carrying like a puppy.
Yeah. Each day, he presents a present of a new head.
And after 5 days, he knows the trick.
Okay, very good.
Is anyone still down hit points?
Lork is not.
I'm good.
Everyone's good?
Okay.
All right, so you guys don't even have to, not that it matters, burn any more channels. You wake up fully refreshed. See, the rules for rest really are pretty good. I don't know why we've played the cheap way forever.
Yeah, it's just going to really come up when you're really strung out. You know, when you have like a couple really bad days in a row, it's going to add up. But as long as you keep put in front of us, you know, embarrassingly easy hydras, we should be fine.
Cool. I'm glad to know that's how you feel
as I prepare one of the hardest adventures you're ever going to face. Okay, so end of the second day, well, end of the first day in the marsh, rather. Day 8 of the journey, I believe. You guys then rest, wake up the next day, refreshed. Obviously, it's lighter out. There's no dim light conditions or anything, but it's just this gray
haze.
Overcast over everything. Like I mentioned, you off of the paths in these wide open areas, the vegetation's so thick, if you were to even go in there, you'd probably get lost in 5 minutes and be totally turned back around and either end up deeper into a place you definitely don't want to be, like total orc-infested area, or back at the water where the keelboat is, but 20 miles downstream.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys keep trudging along, and eventually you can hear some talking up in the distance. And Baron, you hear a mix of both common and dwarven being spoken.
I'm smart.
I'm
dumb, like everybody says.
Dude, you know tongues.
I'm not sure if Howie's hosting or if Troy is anymore.
So you hear off in the distance a mix of, you guys hear common, and then I don't think any of the other three of you speak dwarven. So no. You guys just hear common mixed with some language.
Do I understand?
Like the language of what Baron says in his sleep. You just hear words and you can't quite make it out. But as you guys, I'm assuming, do you want to move closer?
Yeah, and I'll take the vanguard.
Okay,
because I might be able to talk.
All right, so Baron's in the front. Where is everybody else?
I'll be right behind Baron.
Baron, Lork,
trying to be stealthy.
Lork, Ben, next to him.
I'll go behind Lork so I can buff.
I'll be in back.
Galabras in the caboose. You continue moving along the path. Get a little bit closer. And there is a large pool of water to the southwest. It sort of culminates in a river leading farther northeast. And over that stream or river, whatever you want to call it, is a bunch of those wooden logs that you could pass over. And you see in the distance a clearing. In the clearing, you see a hut, a makeshift hut. And the embers of a fire, and you see a filthy dwarf squatting over the fire. Like, you can almost smell her from here. She's got shit stains on her pants.
Oh.
Gross dwarf. And now that you're closer, Baron, you can hear her, and you guys pick out some of these words as well. She's just like, Umlo, my brother, the witches. Which is the coven? We gotta kill the giant. Umlo, my brother. We must find Steelhand. We must find Steelhand.
All right.
And she's just muttering to herself.
She, okay, so she's nuts. So I'm gonna tell everyone else to stand back, and I'm gonna approach by myself. Did she say her name out loud?
That's all you heard with those things. You don't know if one of those was her name or not.
I'm going to approach her, and as soon as I see her, I'm going to say, since I don't know her name, "Darlin', it's me, Umlo," in Dwarvish.
Okay, how close?
I'm gonna ready in action. Lork is going to ready his bow, and he's going to shoot at her if she attacks Baron. If she makes an attack at Baron.
Okay, and Baron, we'll say you cross the bridge and stand, 15 feet away from her?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you want to sneak up on her and roll a stealth check to say that?
Sure.
Okay.
Stealth plus 9.
I'm also going to ready in action, by the way.
28.
If she attacks Baron, I'm going to cast Cat's Grace on Lork.
Okay. So you go up there, and in Dwarven, you say,
"It's honey, darling, it's me. It's Umlo."
She whips her head around. And this dwarf is played by Rachel Dratch.
Nice. I love, she's so great.
She whips her head around and says, "What? You're not Umlo. Who are you? Who are you?
Shit.
Why are you here?
Well, there went plan A.
Such a great plan.
That was so well thought out, and we had talked about it.
I'm going to say, no, I'm sorry.
The mercenaries. Mercenaries, come. Come, help me. Help me defend.
I say, I found Umlo. He's down the road over here. Come on.
Roll a bluff check.
I really don't understand what Grant is doing here.
Seven, wow. 17. Ooh.
You found Umlo?
Uh-huh.
Okay, are you alone?
I have some friends.
I'm just asking.
I have some friends. They're allies of the dwarves, you know, by Dragvit's name. You know, I say that I'm telling the truth here.
Whose name? What?
He's a dwarven god. You'd be familiar with him.
The witches, yes. Well, we gotta watch out for the giant and the witch. Hey, your friends, those filthy greenskins. They're all greenskins.
He's cool.
You.
I have an arrow pointed at her.
You.
It's like,
no, you're a greenskin too.
And she rushes past you towards Lork. Roll for initiative.
Oh, man.
Ooh, terrible initiative roll.
Also,
I'm Umlo.
Terrible.
I'm Umlo.
Oh, I think I got y'all beat.
Then I realized as soon as I started talking to her that I have a 7 charisma score. And that, like, for role playing, it's cool, but as far as effectiveness, it's not going to work.
Well, your 17 bluff was one of your greatest bluffs of all time.
You rolled a 19.
You rolled 19, and I was like, oh, he's going to take. And then when you were like 17, I was like, oh, this is not going to go well.
All right. What did anybody? Who's over 20?
Wow!
No, I got to get that cricket sound effect.
Okay. Obviously, there will be a surprise round for the ready to actions, but let's just finish this mess. Anybody above 15?
18 for Gormley.
18 for Gorms. And who else? Anybody? Who's above 10? Wow! Okay. What'd you get, Baron?
9.
Galabras?
3.
Lork got 4.
I knew that was the worst.
Wow. That was low.
Okay, so she, in her surprise round, she begins running. Gormley, cast Grace.
With the wand, by the way.
Right. And Lork, you get to take an action.
Okay, so if I'm going to wait for her to clear Baron. And before she gets right to me, I'm going to take one shot. So when she's like roughly 10 feet away from me, I'm going to take one shot with the bow, and I'm going to do deadly aim.
Nah. Okay.
Christ, 15 to hit.
Miss.
God.
And that's flat-footed. Miss.
Well, she's not flat-footed.
She's not flat-footed.
Oh, yeah, sorry. She's attacking.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't miss.
Stupid Lork.
Round 1, it's her turn. We'll say, since she was rushing up, she wouldn't have been able to get all the way up to you and do a full attack action this round, but she can.
Was she going
to
do a charge?
Yeah, she was going to do a charge, but she does have 2 weapon fighting, so she still does 2 attacks.
No, she can't do 2 attacks unless she's doing a full attack action. Even if she has 2 weapon fighting and 2 a weapon in each hand, you still have to have.
I don't think that's true.
Okay. I could be wrong, but I think that that's the case. But we'll play
2 weapon fighting. You can fight with a benefit.
It just gives you, you take less penalty.
If you wield a second weapon in your offhand, you get 1 extra attack per round with that weapon. That's the normal. And just this reduces the penalties. It just says you can make 1 extra attack each round with the secondary weapon. And then she has improved 2 weapon fighting, which gives her even more attacks. So you think she only gets 1? When I hear 1 extra attack per round.
Yeah, I usually think that you can't use your offhand weapon in an attack round unless you're doing a full attack action. That's how I used to play.
I'm not 100% sure, so I'll just have her do 1 attack on the charge, and then we'll prepare for the We Are Stupid.
I think we should have a full jury trial to decide this. Complete with appeals process lasting several months.
I could always just stop the podcast and look this up. But
there's only 8 justices on the Supreme Court. How are we ever going to do this with a hung jury?
I know, it'll be a tie.
Firsthand, a war axe come at you.
Jesus.
Natural 20.
Ooh. Fuck.
Rolls to confirm. 19 to confirm.
That confirms.
Uh-oh.
Okay, this is a named character. If anyone wants to look up the rest of those rules, full attack action with two
Wait.
I am looking it up right now.
Oh, it's a war axe, not a battle axe. It might be times three, so double check that.
It is times three. So this means it's going to be at least double damage. And that is a slashing weapon, right?
It is a slashing weapon.
It says double damage. So that means it's triple damage.
Oh. Was this on the second attack?
Sorry, first attack.
First
Holy shit! I have never seen this. Holy shit!
Oh, great.
What is it?
Decapitation. Double damage and death. Fortitude negates.
Oh, bottle cap, bottle cap, bottle cap, bottle cap.
I don't have a bottle cap.
Double damage and death for a crit card? So that's going to be triple damage for her. And you've got to roll a fortitude save?
Well, I would say that the fortitude save should not be very high.
No,
it should be a very low fortitude save. Because if you were doing that on a creature...
I'm not even going to name the DC of the fortitude save. Because I want to see what you roll, and then we're going to have a discussion.
Oh my god!
But then we're going to arbitration. Let me do the triple damage. Decapitation!
What the fuck?
This is the name of the episode.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You ready for the damage?
Yeah.
I actually need a calculator.
That's embarrassing. Doesn't really matter what the
roll
is.
I've got a lot on my head. 39 points of damage.
Oh, my God.
Is that more than half?
I immediately enter a rage.
Yeah.
Least of your problems.
No, but that'll add to your fortitude roll.
It will.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, right.
Oh! This belt may save Lork's life.
Lork, I need you... to roll a fortitude save.
It doesn't even say on the card? That's crazy.
I mean, there's got to be...
No, it always says those cards always have saves without the DC.
There's got to be some rule because there's got to be situational. Right.
Yeah.
Decapitation of a PC. I mean, part of me wants to say DC 5, but that's like so low. DC 7? DC 10 is
I think,
50.
Yeah, I mean, I'll roll, like, give me one of those big dice. I'll roll it out in front of everyone.
You want the giant?
No, that's the one you rolled for the...
All right, fine. I'll roll my favorite die, but I'll roll it out in front of
everyone. All right, what is your fortitude bonus now that you've entered this rage state?
It would be plus 7. Plus 7 to my fortitude.
Okay, so I'm going to say DC 10.
DC 10. Okay.
So he has to roll anything above a 3.
Right. 3 or higher on the die.
Let's make this very clear. Joe O'Brien has to roll above a 3.
A 2.
Above a 2 on this die.
So on a 1 or a 2, Lork's head gets cut off in front of the entire party. First thing that happens.
Insta-death.
My heart is pounding out of my chest.
Oh, fuck, man.
Remember when Baron shot his... gun again and was like, oh, I just gotta dodge a 1 and then roll a 1.
This is the catapult times a million.
Decapitation.
I wish I could give you a bit of luck or something.
Now it's too fast.
Yeah.
All right. Here it goes.
She really doesn't like orcs.
19!
Natural 19 on the die. Wow.
26 fortitude save.
Well, even if I made the DC too low, a 19 is a 19, a 26 total. A 26.
I thought I was going to say 12 would be as low as I would have gone, but that was very generous of you, but still. Decapitation!
Insane.
Yeah.
Wow. That is pretty awesome.
You know what? I'm going to look up those rules about the... save DCs for those cards because
there's got to be some equation.
There's got to be something.
Did you find out, Matthew, what's going on with the two weapon fighting?
There's a lot of discussion about it.
of course,
there right. Is.
Which is perfect because then it's just GM's decision.
What I'm seeing here is GM's discretion. But however, the text for multiple attacks reads: a character who can make more than one attack per round must use the full round action in order to get more than one attack.
That's what I said. That's what I always played by.
There apparently was a feat in D&D 3.5 that allowed you to take an extra attack with an offhand without using a full round action.
Well, this ain't no 3.5.
So
this ain't old
country. 3.75.
That's a piezo thread.
So yeah, I like the idea of gray areas being GM's discretion, but that's pretty black and white. Unless she's doing a full round, she can only make one attack.
Yeah.
So Lork. Only 39 points of damage.
Oh, thank goodness.
And your head is on your neck, and you are...
And I'm raging now.
Raging.
I'm raging.
That was the first attack of round one.
Now I'm sorry. I'm not used to this, so I get plus four to con, right? To constitution.
Normal score. Rage is plus four, plus four.
Plus four, yeah. Plus four. Okay.
So
she is going down.
Oh, yes, she is.
She cut a quarter of the way through his neck.
That's right. Like, she still hit your neck.
Oh, and I still war. Very well may die in this combat. I'm very low.
This is the second
and now
time.
I'm on temporary hit points. So if I hit zero.
This changes how I was completely going to go a different route in this combat. It completely changes how
you, I was. You gain 10 hit points.
Yes. Because you have five. So now I got 10 more hit points.
Gorms, you're up. You just saw a crazy looking dwarf. Covered in her own feces, charge at your buddy Lork and bury a dwarven war axe straight into his neck.
Yeah.
What do you do?
For ranged attacks that are not with a spell, when I have to succeed on a ranged touch attack, does that take the minus four when they're in melee?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. In that case,
you can also critical on ranged touches, which a lot of people don't notice. With magical stuff, it's a times two for any damage done.
Right. If you roll a 20, I don't think there's any spells that are like 18 or 19 to 20.
And we have magic crit category on the cards as well.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
In that case, Gormley's going to levitate up into the air, and she's going to she's going to shoot a lightning bolt at this fucking door.
Is she wearing metal?
Well, be careful,
is she
wearing metal? You're taking a minus four to that.
Why?
It's not. It's not a range touch.
That's okay. I'm doing this instead.
Great. Wait,
nope.
It automatically misses any allies in the line?
I'm going up,
no,
so there is.
She's up, so she can,
sorry.
Yeah. I'm using Pythagoras.
As if she was a cloud.
Oh, wow, that's pretty.
That's a great roll.
Yeah, that's a good roll.
18, but you get a fortitude save.
Fortitude or reflex?
Reflex.
Reflex, 11.
Fails.
That's a miss.
Fail.
Yeah.
So how much damage?
18 damage.
Holy gorms.
So
Gormley
just rises up in the air, and from her hand, she's like,
Does the spell do anything if they're wearing metal? Does it hurt them additionally?
It can melt metals with a low melting point, such as lead, gold, copper, silver, or bronze. That's all it says.
Is she wearing any of those things? Because they're melted.
It sets fire to combustibles.
Ooh.
I'll look into that. Her hair singes. Baron.
Baron wants
or
to.
Or should I say Umlo?
Hey, it's me, Umlo.
I'm Umlo.
It's me, Umlo. I'm here to be.
I want you to maintain this deception.
Yeah. And I love how she was like, "You're not Umlo," and then he was like, "I found Umlo over there."
Oh yeah, I forgot about that logic.
I'm Umlo.
So you're a lying piece of shit.
I'm your brother from another mother. So I want to do a knowledge check. It looks like she's holding a shield based on her mini.
Don't worry about that.
Is there any type of knowledge local I can do to try to tell who she is or what clan she's from or anything like that?
No. You can roll a sense motive.
Okay. Natural 20, 24.
She's suffering from some sort of mental affliction.
Okay.
Thanks, Sherlock.
Doesn't matter to Lork, I'll tell you that much.
No.
Or Gormley right now.
But it, you know who it would matter to? A fellow dwarf.
Yeah.
I really want to tangle her down. I shout to the group, "Don't kill her. Umlo's going to help her."
It's helped so much so far.
Go get her, Umlo.
And I'm not going to rapid shot her because I don't want to kill her. So I'm just going to shoot her.
Okay.
19 against touch.
That is a hit.
17 damage.
Damn.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay, and it is now Lork's turn. Holding your action?
I can tell you what I'm not doing.
Does he crack his neck?
I'm not grappling her. just barely shrugs off certain death and screams, goes into a crazy rage. The belt lights up with magic. And he brings the falchion at her. Natural one.
You serious?
Well, thank God it was there.
Oh my God, you find six levels when you start confirming fumbles. So, way to answer a crit with a fumb.
This is terrible. What if it's like
decapitate
you crit yourself?
Self-decapitation.
Self-decapitation. Melee. Off balance, you take a -4 penalty on all attack rolls for one round. So
that's great. Not bad.
Could be worse.
Could be what?
Could all be right. Worse, mate.
All right, Ben Vereen is going to maul her to death. So 5 foot step, full attack.
Ben Vereen is going to maul her to death.
I picture Lorik just in a rage, just swinging wildly over her head.
Yeah, just and it falls off balance.
Yeah.
Okay, here he goes. First attack is a claw. 12 to hit.
Miss.
Second attack is a 24.
That is a hit.
To hit. Does 3 points of damage.
So these are just claws. Like,
yeah, two claws. Right, 3 points of damage. And then he bites. 18 to hit.
18 hits.
And does 4 points of damage.
All right.
With the bite.
Another good round for Ben Vereen.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Okay. Galabras, you've seen all this go down.
What? Okay, well, I heard what Umlo said, so I'm going to do a sense motive of my own. 20.
Yeah, so you know what, you wouldn't.
21.
Yeah, you know that she's suffering from some sort of affliction.
I am going to cast Calm Emotions.
Calm Emotions.
Interesting.
Talk to me about Calm Emotions.
Well, it's complicated. It calms their emotions.
Okay.
Angry Skid is entering the room.
Yeah, it basically just it calms the target down. They have a will save of 15.
Okay. So you cast it on her, and you see it kind of affect her.
Actually, you know what? It affects everyone. It's a 20-foot radius.
So Lork, too?
So his rage is...
So Lork will be fatigued.
Yeah.
Except for me, right?
I think you're outside the air, yeah.
So Galabras, you cast this on her.
I'm up in the air.
And roll a perception check.
15.
You see her be like it's affecting her, but you see the same craziness in her eyes, and you, as a cleric of Desna, realize that she's under such powerful magic that you need a much more intense spell to try and cure her of this malady.
Okay.
But Lork is going to roll a will save, I assume.
Yeah, Lork will roll... A will save.
It's good, even though you didn't get her. Like that's very important to know.
So he goes out of a rage.
Yeah,
and I can't take violent actions. I can defend myself.
Is that what you?
Yeah, I can defend myself. I don't know what that means. Does that mean attacking someone that's attacking me?
I think she's actively fighting you, even though you're. I think you would. That would be.
Don't forget too, like on the scale, you went from normal to rage. Now you just go back to normal.
Okay. You know I mean, yeah. The wording on the spell says something about not taking violent actions, but can defend themselves.
Interesting.
She did. That's kind of like decapitate you.
I think of it like in terms of light. You know, dark light, dim light. You take a step down in the same way, and I'm not saying this clear.
That makes sense.
Rage to normal.
Creatures so affected cannot take violent actions, although they can defend themselves, or do anything destructive. Against an aggressive action against or damage dealt to a calm creature immediately breaks the spell. So I think I have to take damage again before it'll break this, before it'll hit her.
New slash. It's her turn.
Yeah. Full attack action.
Full attack action.
Dead.
4 attacks.
Oh, wow.
She's got a dwarven war axe in one hand and a hand axe in the other. And she's just going to go slash, 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 slash.
This is deadly.
4 attacks. And she gets a +5 to hit any one of the orc subtype.
Holy.
Oh, this is going to, it's going to kill him.
You're going down.
No, he's because he stays up. So it's going to kill him.
Oh, because of ferocity?
Mm-hmm.
Orc ferocity.
Or at least get very close to, it's going to kill him. Oh my God. This one. And after all this time,
it has a list of all the spells that can cure her, and unfortunately Calm Emotions wasn't one. Okay, just want to make sure I have all my numbers lined up here. 4 attacks. Now Ben Vereen is there as well, and Ben Vereen did do 2
attacks on it, so it would not be strange for her to have a couple swings of those at Ben Vereen. But the first attack is at Lork, the orc, with my neon green die that only rolls 20s.
Your way to die.
What a way to die. Okay.
Fuck.
First attack, 16.
Miss.
Second attack, 14.
Miss.
All right. Now the lesser weapon. Still has a times 3 crit. Both of these are coming at Lork.
Come on, Lork.
Natural 19.
That'll hit.
This is the hand axe comes around. Hits Lork for 4 points of damage.
Okay.
And then final attack. Will it be a 20?
No.
2 on the die. Oh. 4 attacks.
Oh my god.
4 attacks.
Standing in there, taking it.
Okay. Well, now
the calm emotions is gone.
Calm emotions is gone. So does that mean, does my rage come back? This is so complicated.
You can't
enter a rage while you're fatigued.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you may fire when ready.
But you have a Red Bull, right? You can just
5-hour energy. Uppers and downers just bouncing all out.
But we're playing Fallout now instead of...
It's interesting. Like, I'm thinking, is she going to move at all? Get anywhere there?
She but took Baron, her full attack.
Yeah,
she took a 5-foot step.
You know, you guys just take your 5-foot step and attack. Like, even if she was trying to move, Baron is blocking the other side of the bridge. I didn't realize you guys are fighting on this bridge.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's very dramatic.
She's going to turn into the Black Knight from Monty Python.
Flying Gormley.
God damn it. Gormley's going to fly. For a move action, she's going to fly over to the other side of her.
Okay.
And cast Burning Hands.
Cast Burning Hands. So that will include Lork and Ben Vereen.
He's going to position himself so that
she's firing down.
Just firing down.
At the edge of the range.
On her and the log bridge.
That's a wet log bridge.
Yeah. You're a wet log.
Do you have to roll to hit?
No.
7 points of damage, but you get a reflex save.
Rolled a 16 on the reflex.
All right, you save. So 3 points of damage.
3 points of damage. Fire damage. All right, Baron. You see, this is the first dwarf you've come across since Agrit Stangazdar. And, you know, just like Lork has a soft spot for murderous half-orcs.
Sure, when your only tool is a hammer, all you can do is smash. Like, there's nothing I can do as a gunslinger. I just hope to reduce her to 0 and that we can stabilize her.
She is a nail.
I gotta nail her.
Oh, boy.
And I will, if this battle concludes the way I want it to.
Keep it in your pants.
2 inches of fury. So, Galabras goes after me in this round. I'm going to see if he has anything else up his sleeve because I saw him try to help her. And if he doesn't, I'm going to continue shooting the shit out of her.
All right, so Baron readying an action, essentially?
No, he's holding his action.
He's holding his action. Right. Okay, Lork the Orc.
Lork's going to take her out. She's done.
Strong word.
This is it.
Strong
power attack. Full on power attack. Natural 1.
Get out of here.
No.
Oh, God, dude.
Poor fucking
I have
Joe,
no
man.
Words. I am shaking with anger. I can't
You're
even.
So mad.
There's nothing worse than this game. There's nothing worse.
It's amazing.
Oh, my God. I swing down at her, boom, and the falchion goes in the log, and I have to get a DC 20 strength check to pull it out.
At least you have quick draw.
Oh my god, yeah, at least Brynja's dagger is going to see an appearance. All right, stuck.
Oh man.
So we'll see next round. I'll roll to try to pull
get,
it out.
If she doesn't get down, she's going to have
another
4 attacks on you.
Well, actually, do I roll it now?
To see if you...
DC 20 strength to free it.
Wouldn't that?
No, I think
is that an action?
An action, yeah.
Oh Jesus! God damn, dude.
Let's be honest.
Let's be honest.
And it is Ben Vereen's turn.
Ben Vereen is going to kill her.
Ben has a chance.
Come on, Ben.
Ben.
All right, Ben, here we go. First attack, 13 to hit.
Miss.
Second attack, 20 to hit.
Hit.
Does so 3 points of damage.
First claw misses. Second claw does its requisite
bite.
3.
Natural 20.
Natural 20 on the bite!
On the bite, Ben Vereen.
Oh my god, this is huge.
Got to confirm.
This is huge.
Confirm. Does not confirm.
Max damage.
4 points of damage.
Oh.
Yeah, that's max.
She still is standing.
Damn it.
She's still standing. Now it's Galabras' turn.
Okay. Galabras, he took his best shot, and I guess it just wasn't good enough. So now we're here back where we were before, trying to kill her. So I'm going to step around. If I have enough movement, I'm going to get up in her grill. Yeah. And I'm going to go big.
Hit it tall.
Couldn't you stand on the bridge big?
Yeah.
We'll find out.
It's logs, right? It's not like planks.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's not like one of your compatriots just chopped into one of them.
Yeah. 11.
Ine miss.
Okay, so can I go now that I've seen him?
Yes, you can. You may.
Taking a step there, firing underneath Gormley's legs. Hopefully she'll feel the wind.
Right, so through, well, Gormley's flying, right?
I'm like 25 feet up in the air. No, I descended to burning him.
And minus 4 in the melee, so.
19.
Well, it's a 15 against touch.
15 against touch. Hits.
There we go.
Bullet.
Oh, no, you're right. That's a 19 against touch.
Oh!
Oh, boy.
17 points of damage.
Jesus. Let's see here.
Below zero?
Troy's got his calculator.
She is below zero.
All right.
1 point away from total death.
Someone save her.
She falls unconscious. And immediately stabilizes.
Oh, because she's a dwarf?
Because she has the die-hard feet.
Nice.
Oh, okay.
Boom.
I rush up to her, and I kind of just stand in between her and Lorik, and I say, please, brother, please, we got to figure out. There's something wrong with her. She wouldn't have done this otherwise. Please, we fought a lot of battles. I know she did that. She's going to get punishment, but don't kill her.
Lork, what do you say?
Are we not in combat rounds?
No, you're out of combat.
Lork is pushing past Baron to kill her.
Well, she's dead, as far as you know.
No, I mean, she's breathing.
So you're pushing.
He's just past. Doing the kind of like.
Right.
Gormley drops to the ground, feather falls. And
reaching for his falchion.
In between Lork and in between, she joins Baron to stand in between Lork and the body. And she says, let's hear Baron out.
Galabras, what do you do?
I'm like grabbing Lork by the shoulders as she's afflicted by some curse. I can see it.
All right, Lork is just gonna grab the sucking wound in his neck and walk away.
Oh, and I
wash it in the stream.
I'm gonna do a cure moderate on you.
Okay,
beautiful. I'm going to bind her wrists with rope and her legs. And I am going to search her body.
Okay.
17 healing. Nice.
Should I do a perception?
No, I will tell you what you find. You find two potions. I don't know if you're removing her armor or anything.
No, I'm not removing it.
But she has a dwarven war axe.
Okay.
That they detect as magical. A masterwork hand axe. And then she also has on her back a masterwork composite short bow. And around her neck is a steel hair clasp in the shape of a fist.
Okay. I give the weapons to Gormley, and I say, take these away, because if she wakes up, I don't want her to try to grab them and attack us again.
Gormley accepts them and does a spellcraft?
On the potions?
Yeah.
Yeah, do all of them.
All of them. And spellcraft, and then I'll do also the magic axe. 24.
It's a potion of cure moderate wounds and a potion of remove curse.
Oh.
How convenient. How convenient.
So I immediately hand that one to Galapros.
All right. So, I pour it down her throat, and then I use the wand of Cure Light Wounds. 7.
Okay, still unconscious.
Do it again. 9.
Wow.
Next. She comes to.
And I put my face right in front of her.
I'm your brother.
And I say, it's me, Umlo. Just kidding.
What happened? What?
I said, lady, you look like you got a bump on the head or some sort of spell cast on you. I'd never seen a dwarf act like you before. I thought something was wrong with you, but you should probably apologize to my friend Lork over there. He looks green, but he's good on the inside.
He's standing like 15, 20 feet away, just looking at her like,
yeah. Keep her hands tied.
Oh my, did I do that?
What are you, Urkel? Get the fuck out of here.
Did I do that?
I say to her, you're one hell of a fighter, I can tell you that, because I've seen this man take down legions of enemies over the weeks I've been with him.
Oh, it's all rushing back to me now. Yes, I seem to remember. I think I almost decapitated your friend. I'm so sorry. I don't know what came over me. I've been all over the place. I thought I was one thing. I thought I was another.
I say to her, look.
Is this in common or in Dwarven?
This is in common.
Okay.
I say to her, look. We've already fought a five-headed Hydra, and we come across your crazy butt, and I'm wondering...
I'm sorry, it stinks.
That's right.
I'm so embarrassed.
Say, you smell bad. We'll get you a bath. There's water nearby. It'll be easy. But what the hell, what in tarnation are you doing in this swamp, this marsh?
My name is Ingrahild. Ingrahild Nargrimmikin.
No, it isn't. You made it up on
that's
the fly?
That's my name.
All right, Ingrahild.
That's please. I'm.
What else?
I only have
what
two
else can you tell me?
Don't yell. My name is Ingrahild. Ingrahild Nargrimkin. I came here with my brother, Umlo. We entered Ghostlight March in search of a tomb of one of our ancestors, the famed giant slayer, Nagrum Steelhand. I thought that this was where we would find it, but instead we found these stones, and we were attacked by a coven of witches and a marsh giant. We had two mercenaries with us, and I believe we killed some, if not all of them, but I was cursed, I think, by this one of the witches, and my brother disappeared, and here I've just been living off the land, but everything's a blur. I don't quite remember anything.
All right, now we're going to help you find your brother if he's still alive.
Thank you. Hopefully, I pray that he's still out there somewhere.
What were you hoping to find in your ancestor's tomb? And can I do any type of knowledge check to know who he is based off of my dwarven background?
Yes. I mean, you've heard the name before, basically. It's just one of these famed giant slayers.
So,
he's rumored to have a tomb somewhere, but
so let's
wouldn't
say,
think it would be over here.
Let's say that our, maybe lore-wise, the defensive training +4 against giants might, you know, have resulted from some of his tactics and stuff, and we may have learned stuff from him.
I like that.
From who?
Like he's like an ancient guy, right?
Nargrim, yeah.
Yeah. All right. I ask him, what else do we want to know from her?
Is she living in the hut? Like, what is this hut?
Yeah, I mean, if you walk over there, you'll see that it's a makeshift hut that she's been living in while suffering from schizophrenia.
I say, here, let me tend to your wounds.
Thank you. I'm so sorry. I would never attack anyone that wasn't trying to hurt me. I was sick. I thought you were. I just saw orcs. I thought you were all orcs. I'm so sorry.
It happens a lot. It's all right.
I ask her if she's still looking for him. If she wants to join us.
I can be of service to you. What are you doing here in the marsh, if I may ask?
Someone want to tell her? I'm okay with... she's awake now. I don't have any dwarven reasons to...
I channel for six, if anyone's hurt.
Oh, cool.
Oh, that's a good fly sound.
Yeah.
I tell her we're looking for something special, too. We're on the lookout for the Vault of Thorns.
Vault of Thorns.
Does that ring a bell to you?
No, no. What is it?
It is a place of great...
Yeah, you're better.
It is a place of great power.
Is it a building or a...
It is a demiplane created by the druids who once dwelt in this place.
How do you know if you find it?
We need the husk of a will-o'-wisp placed in this lantern here. And I show the lantern at my belt.
Oh, I've seen will-o'-wisps here in the swamp.
Where?
I know an area not too far from here, perhaps less than a day's journey, where will-o'-wisps seem to congregate. I've seen them on occasion. They disappear as quickly as I can walk up to them, but it's not like I go chasing will-o'-wisps. They're very dangerous. But I've seen them. I know an area of the swamp. I could join you. I see you've taken my weapons, and I understand why, but I could, if you let me have my weapons, I can help you.
I'll let the tall, dark, and long-tusked man over there decide on whether you get your weapons back. You almost took his head off.
I understand.
We'll hold them for now.
Okay. I realize that trust must be earned, but if bad things go down, I could be of great help. If I can almost take off your head, I'm sure what I could do.
Can I sense great motive?
Damage. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I would like to do that as
sure.
well.
Sure.
15.
8.
8.
It's 15.
Okay, so Lork and Baron, you're 100% sure she's telling the truth. Galabras and Gormley, you feel pretty confident that she's, you know, she was cursed and she's a good person.
Wait, I'm sorry. How is she cursed?
A witch yeah. that she came across.
Okay. So her and her brother went into the marsh with some mercenaries to try and find the tomb of their ancestor. They got attacked near a circle of stones by a coven of witches and a marsh giant.
Oh, well, we're looking for the circle of stones.
Yeah.
Where was the circle of stones? Do you remember?
It's deeper. I remember it's deeper into the...
Past the will-o'-wisps?
Yes, yes. The area where I saw the will-o'-wisps is like I said, a half a day's journey from here. But that was much farther, near a hot spring on the northwest or northeast portion of the marsh. But I can definitely bring you to the clearing with the will-o'-wisps.
Okay.
I forget if I asked this already. What were you hoping to find in the tomb, or was it just like a pilgrimage so you could pray to him?
The latter. I thought perhaps we'd find some sort of treasure that rightfully we weren't looking to raid a tomb, but ultimately belonged to us, as he is our kin.
And did you, besides these witches, did you see any other dangers in the marsh?
I mean, we saw a hydra one day, but we were able to skirt the area where it was... making its home, and we've seen other creatures as well, but the greatest threat we saw was the witches and the giant. But we killed them. I know we killed most of them, if not all of them.
All right. I reckon she's our best chance at looking for the will-o'-wisp. I mean, Lork told us earlier they can go plumb invisible.
If you want to hold on to my weapons, I completely understand. But if you will help me find my brother, I would love to come with you and perhaps be of service.
Can we give her the hatchet at least?
Yeah, I was just going to walk. So Lork walks up to her and he's like,
"We'll help you find your brother. And until I'm sure that you're not going to do us any harm."
And he flips out the hand axe, kind of flips it over and hands her offhand weapon. And is like, "Protect yourself." And hands her that, but he doesn't want to give her the war axe that cut him just yet.
Okay.
Did we ever find out what this magic
on that
was?
Please be careful with that. It's been in my family for a long time, and you did not, no.
I'll spellcraft it.
Spellcraft what?
the axe. 16.
It's a plus one dwarven war axe.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so Lorg is just going to keep it in plain sight, and we're just kind of like...
Do you want to hold?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give it to you.
I, so oh,
okay. She flips the hand axe in her hand a couple times, holds on to it. Okay.
So she's still badly injured. You still have wounds to be taken care of. Can we rest? I can expend the rest of my...
I could use a rest.
I've been here, as far as I know, for at least a week, and I haven't been attacked. I'm sure my hut is, if I'm this filthy, it's got to be pretty gross in there too. But we'll be safe here, I would think.
All right, why don't you take a bath? and I'll start cleaning up this hut.
Okay. And she goes off into the woods, and you can hear
her. Oh, wait, I forgot. Lork doesn't clean.
Yeah, that's right. We made that clear.
I don't clean.
I'm like,
all right. So, do we want to rest? Can we rest?
Yeah, I'll walk in the general direction, like I'm not following her, but just keep an eye on her.
Okay, so.
Should I roll perception on the hut? Like, is there anything interesting in there, or is it.
It's all filth. Okay. She's been living off filth.
Living off.
Maybe I'll sleep outside the hut.
Yeah. All right, so do we want to do just burn your channels?
Yeah.
Okay, so go ahead and burn those.
4, 5, 9, 11.
Wow.
Oh my god, how many channels do you have?
One more.
Wow.
And 7.
How you feeling, Mark?
I'm full. I'm all the way back. Took almost all of it, though.
I still need 30 hit points of healing. Just kidding.
What were you, outside the range of the channels?
Yeah, I was
like, oh no.
I had a little like periscope on her changing. I'm like, oh yeah.
With a night's rest, she'll almost be full.
Okay.
And I'll cast Cure Light on her for 10.
I like this resting
she's
mechanic.
She's yeah.
I mean, I like it when you have almost all your channels.
Yes, that makes a difference.
Yes. She's back to her full complement of hit points, and she's very thankful to you. And, you know, she goes, you hear the sloshing of water, she's cleaning herself up, and eventually she emerges, and, she looks a lot more...
Is she beautiful?
Do I find her attractive?
No, she's a little rugged looking, and I mean her face is very gaunt because she's been eating.
Oh, she's Rachel Dratch.
Brambles and God knows what for the past, just living off the land. So she's very emaciated looking.
I ask her.
I have a picture I can show you, and I'll put it up on the Tumblr too.
I ask her if it's okay to give her other potion to Lork because she messed him up so bad.
She says, "Absolutely. It's a small token, but." I really feel horrible. I would have never hurt you.
All right, all right.
Potion of Cure Moderate for Lork.
Cool, I'll take it.
I'm sorry.
So it's the next day.
This is what she looks like here. Let me check out the Tumblr.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't do it.
Red hair and her skin almost looks gray from being out in the filth.
I ask her, by the way, what which dwarven city she's from.
I'm from the Kodar Mountains.
Oh, I'm from the Five Kings Mountains.
Oh, mountain folk.
Mm.
Do you get a plus two in mountains as well?
No, I don't.
I do.
He gets it.
Oh, this is an unlikely romance.
Yeah.
This is like when Harry met Sally.
It must have been love.
That would make a great story for the grandkids.
I first met your grandmother, she almost decapitated me in the first round.
Let's be honest, when Lork dies in the next combat, you're playing Ingrahild.
All right, I'll give her weapons back.
Should we head out?
So you're going to spend the night there, and then the next morning she'll take you through.
The next morning when, we go through the night, you know, unmolested, and she seems totally fine, and she gives the potion and everything, Lork will give her the war axe back.
Oh, wow.
Okay, nice. She's...
And the other weapons?
What were the other weapons?
Short bow.
The crossbow and...
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and what about the steel hair clasp? What was that?
Yeah, what's up with that?
It's worth some gold.
It's not magical.
I pocket it.
Sleight of hand check.
Hair clasp?
Typical good aligned priest.
You must have lost it when you were crazy. You're crazy lady.
All right, so the next morning she's like, I'm ready to head out when you are, and I'm with you for as long as you'll have me. I can be a great service to you, and if we find my brother, he can help you as well. I don't know where your travels are taking you, but I'm with you if you'll have me. And hopefully I can prove myself worthy.
It'll be nice to have another feminine voice on the team.
Preach, sister.
Welcome aboard, Ingrid?
Ingrid. You can just call me Ingra.
All right, Ingra.
Ingra.
I guess you lead the way then.
Okay. And she does so. So she continues north with you, tracking her way through. And you can tell she's still a little confused, but she seems to know where she's going. And eventually she goes off the beaten path, and she brings you up to the edge of the woods. And she's like, it's deep within these woods here. I marked the trees, and you see that she like marked an X on the trees to remind her how to get deeper into this area. So now you actually would have to go into the vegetation, and it's very, very slow moving and thick and dark. Not darkness, but just dark in the sense of like you're completely covered by trees. You can't even see the sky.
How many miles are we into the marsh now?
Probably about 3 or 4. So she takes you deeper into the woods, and eventually, a couple hours later, you come to a clearing, and it's just this small, maybe 50 feet wide by 100 feet wide clearing in the woods, and you had been walking through like thick trees, bush, with no. You don't see a clearing left or right anywhere for the past couple hours, and then all of a sudden you come to this clearing, and there is a strange presence, just omnipresent around you. You don't see anything. You don't hear anything. It's eerily quiet, but you sense that something momentous happened here. She says, my brother and I, we came here when we were searching for the tomb, and we rested here for the night, and I swore. I woke up many times throughout the night and saw these will-o-wisps just glowing and then extinguishing their light. I don't know if they'll come anytime soon, but I think this is as good a place as any.
And they didn't attack you?
No, we were never attacked.
Did you feel,
thank the gods,
menacing energy from them? Like they wanted to hurt you, or were they just watching you creepy-like?
A little bit of both. Will-o-wisps are known to be evil creatures.
And we all know that they have that invisibility thing going, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Lork did some research.
Yeah.
With his dungeoneering.
I mean, what's the radius of the clearing, would you say?
50 feet wide.
I mean, I could cast glitter dust and see what we see.
I wouldn't do anything that can be perceived as aggressive just yet. We also know that the will-o-wisps are very likely, you know, born out and generated from these druids. So there's a chance if we don't make the first move. I mean, they camped here and weren't attacked, so there's some reason to think that if we take non-aggressive means.
Did the druids fight off full-blooded orcs or half-orcs?
Full.
Oh, okay, so maybe they can tell Lork is a halfie.
I'm endangering the mission. I shouldn't have come.
Everybody roll a perception check.
It's imagination, kid.
19.
20.
16.
22.
Baron, to a certain and Gormley, not so much Lork, but Baron Gormley and Galabras, just after staying here for half an hour, you feel like you're constantly being watched. And again, similar to when you're on the boat and you saw those lights, you don't know how much you're projecting into your mind and how much something is actually presenting this feeling.
Yeah, I'd be paranoid at this point after everything that's happened to us.
And then Galabras, right in your ear, at a certain point, you hear, "Where did you get that? Your theft will not go unpunished. Give that back to us!" And a surge of electrical energy entering your body.
Oh my god. It's the lantern. Yeah.
Pick it up here next time.
Oh!
Mother.
Oh.
God damn it.
God damn. I hate this music at the end. I hate hearing this. Oh, it's the worst.
Boo.